Anybody here, raise your hands if you have ever prayed for anything. Raise your hands high. Raise high. Now look around. See all the intercessors in this house? Yeah, we're all called. We should not have any times of intercession where the house is one or two, because every one of us is called to pray. And it almost doesn't even matter what the subject of prayer is, because when we come together, God somehow he winds up changing that sometimes, what our agenda is. And we should have an agenda, but we should always be open to what God is wanting us to pray about. And we had a fantastic Tuesday night prayer. And the one before that was fantastic. And the one before that was fantastic. And I'm anticipating the one on Wednesday to be amazing, because it's being head up by two firecrackers, Pauline and Diane Morrow. If you've never heard her pray, watch out. She's a whip. And so let's make a concerted effort together to push back against the enemy, to push forward in the kingdom and make something happen, because we are the ones called. We are all called to the ministry of intercession. If you don't think you are, you've been reading the wrong Bible, because we are all called there and we all have to. It's not a matter of, it's just not a matter of time. It's just not a matter of, well, they're more anointed, because all that's just a bunch of BS. I couldn't think of another word. So that said, I want to talk a little bit before I really head into my topic this morning. I want to talk about the whole thing here with that happened yesterday with the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. Because it was important. A lot of people prayed more than you know, and that had a lot to do with it. It's not that Brett Kavanaugh is not eminently qualified, but one of the biggest reasons that we should be rejoicing is the rule of law withstood the attack of the devil. And the rule of law in any civil society is important. If you don't have the rule of law, then you have chaos. And then people don't know what to do. So you may be thinking, and you know, this is an okay victory. I don't know if it's a victory. I don't know where people might stand on Brett Kavanaugh. That's okay. What we need to understand is, In our country, we have this thing called due process, which some people would like to just skip over for convenience to get rid of somebody that they don't agree with. And that's just not how we were built as a country. And our country's laws are important. And so this was a victory, even if some may not see it as such. And I loved this morning, Joyce gave a warning about our, you know, our hearts as followers of Jesus, that we should not stay angry at all the attack that everything that happened to what I think is an innocent man. You may think otherwise, but there was absolutely no evidence to support these many women's claims. So I think I'm just grateful for the victory, but I feel like in order for us to not be angry at the attacks that happened and to stay in watch mode, I really think that I hope the church reaches out to all these angry people that wanted death and the death of Brett Kavanaugh, that wanted destruction of his family, that wanted destruction of Trump. I think that they are the ones that need our help the most. And they need our prayer the most. So in order for us to stay in the place of love, I think we need to love them. And not think of them as the enemy. Because they are, you know, they're lost. And there's wickedness there. And because the Bible says that it's not what goes into a man that defiles them. It's what comes out. And what was coming out was sickening. And I almost can't even look at Facebook sometimes because what they say without accountability is the most ugly thing that you could possibly think. And because they're not face to face with the man, they can say the ugliest things about them. And they do, and people do that all the time. But I think that we would do well to love on those people and not even debate. It's pointless to speak words, you know, with them that aren't love, because you're not going to get anywhere. We're not going to get anywhere with some of these people. We have to just show them we love them. And that's where it's going to be. That's where they're going to be turned. So that was kind of what I wanted to say about that. One of the things, so now I want to go into my topic for today, and I'm going to try to end this early because I want us to talk about vision, because I think it's important. It's interesting because a couple of months ago, Rich told me that we needed to visit that. We needed to, as a leadership team, we needed to talk about vision. As a leadership team, we wanted to bring it to everybody that comes here so that we can all be on the same page. And we want to, so before we make something solid, we want us all to be in agreement on what's happening. And it's not a free for all. It's just, we want everyone, all of us, to be one in this. Does that make sense? So I want to end that. I'm going to try and end a little early so that we can talk about that because we've got art today. And so I want to make time for that. We as a leadership team want to make time for that. So I'm going to go right into this. I'm doing a study in the book of John. Didn't get very far. And quite honestly, I'm hoping I can get through the first chapter, but the first chapter is got a crazy amount of stuff in it. And I looked at John because, as I said, when I decided to do this, I asked the Lord how I could become a better son to him, how I could become a better husband to Sarah, and how I could become a better dad. And he said, I want you to study John, and I want you to study the book, the Gospel of John. And so that's what I've tried to, that's my journey here that I get to share with you all. And so going to the end of the book first to talk a little bit about John, because in this book, I'm not sure why God told me to read this book, because John doesn't talk about himself in this book, except to say, like a few times, that the disciple that Jesus loved. And we sort of know that he's talking about himself, the writer's talking about himself, which is John the Apostle. And I got this from Mike Bickle, because I listened to a couple of his teachings on John and on the Gospel of John. And he says that in John 21:20. Let me run there real quick. John 20, and then I'm going to go back to the beginning. John 21:20 says, "Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, 'Lord, who is the one who betrays you?' And of course, he was told, right? John was told who was the one who would betray him. Well, so I love how Mike Bickle puts this. John's life, when it all came down, when he started, as he grew in knowledge and understanding of who Jesus is, John was consumed with three things in his life. God loves me. I love God. And God shares with me the secrets of his heart. Those were the three things, according to Mike Bickle, and I kind of agree with that. Those are the three things that drove John's life. God loves me. I love God. And God shows me the secrets of his heart. And that's where I would love to see all of us go. God loves me. I love God. And he shows me the secrets of his heart. Rich said a couple of weeks ago when he was teaching here, he says that Scripture is Jesus. Scripture is Jesus. And golly, when you look at the book of John, you get no other sense from John than Jesus is Scripture. So I'm going to dive right in here. I know I touched on this at the beginning, at the end of my last teaching on John, but we're going in here. We're going to dive in here. I'm going to go the first three verses. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." So we're looking here at the first three verses, and right out of the chute, John calls Jesus the Genesis one God. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And this particular gospel was written way after the other gospels were written. So it was, I think what he was doing here was maybe, and it was an answer to the other gospels, some questions that might have been hovering around. But he lays it very clear here that the God that the Jews understand from Genesis 1 is Jesus. He is ascribing deity. He is ascribing deity to the one he leaned on for so many months. And we all remember, you know, in the middle of the book, in John 8, he recalls Jesus saying that before Abraham was, I am. And God, did they want to stone him for that? The Pharisees wanted to kill him for that because he was equating himself with God. Because if we remember back in Exodus, that's what his name was, right? Moses asked him, "Who should I say you are? Who should I say your name is?" And he said, "I am." And so they wanted him dead because he was actually saying that he was even greater than Abraham, right? And to me, you know, I've been talking a lot with Rich about his time in Israel, and just reading the scriptures, it sure seems, you know, the Pharisees love Moses almost more than they love God. I think the Pharisees sometimes, I think they fear God in a not like fear the Lord kind of way. You know, they're afraid of God, and probably rightly so, because they don't know Him, they don't have a relationship, and but Moses gave the law, and so I kind of feel like the Pharisees love him more, and so. But they're equating this guy, Jesus, John's equating him with, you know, he's greater than Abraham. And so they want to destroy him. So I want to look at one quick thing here. As we read the first three verses here, I'm going to go in, I want to have a different Bible open here. So I'm going to, so I don't have to turn it. I'm going to go into Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. So it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, and God said, and God said. And so as you look at this, what John wrote, he's calling Jesus the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And so Jesus, according to John, and Genesis 1 backs this up, it was the Word that created. So He spoke, the Word spoke, and created. Jesus was actually part of creating. He was back there creating. I think that's astounding. And then he has the humility to come and walk amongst his creation. You know, most of the time people that create stuff, they hang it on the wall or they do, but they don't interact with it. Not so the Genesis 1 God, Jesus. Let's see where I am here. All right. So I want to, as I'm going to go through this, I'm also going to pull out words because it's a Bible study, right? So I go deeper in scripture sometimes by pulling out the words. God highlights a word and I pull it out and I review it and I look into it. And so that's kind of what I'm going to do here. And I'm where God started doing this on when I was reading this is verse 4. So it says in verse 4, it says, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And life, where did I put and see that? Hang on a minute. Now I'm mixed up here. Okay, the life is, that word for life is, we all know that to be Zoe, right? Everybody right on that? I've heard Rich talk about that a lot, and he's given his definition. And so what I found, and I couldn't remember what he said, but I've heard him say it a bunch of times, but I couldn't remember it. But what Thayer says, and this is the same as what Rich believes, it's the absolute fullness of life. It's both the essential and ethical or moral. It's that which is God. Life belongs to God. And through His logos, through His word, because He's the Word, through that life gets transferred to us. Does that make sense? So the word, through the word, the logos, the fullness of life, the fullness of who God is, is transferred or transfused into all of us. So that's who we are. That's our that's what is inside of us is the life of God. We're not separate in that way from God. It's his life in us. It's inseparable. The life and then the light here. It says here, the light in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life, the life in God, the life that is God, and his light are both inseparable to me. They're intertwined here because of what it says in verse 4, in him was life, and that the life was the light of men. Light there isn't necessarily meaning the lights get switched on. What that word is, what it means is, it represents truth. But it represents more than truth. It represents truth and its knowledge, according to Thayer's. So what does that mean for you and I? It's truth, but it's more or less, it's truth and its application in our lives. It's not just a scripture on your refrigerator or on your mirror, but it's the truth. And you're more than just acquainted with what it actually means. It's knowing it, knowing the truth, because we all hear the truth, but sometimes we don't maybe know it down in here. And, you know, so it's the light, the life and the light is the fullness of God right here, but it's the truth as well. And it's more than that. It's knowing that you know what it is, that the truth. So that is the intertwined life, Zoe, and light. Does that make sense to everybody? So we could say then with verse 4, we could say that verse 4 could say, In him was life. His essence comprehended. In him was life. It's who he is. In him was life. And that life is transfused from the word logos into created natures, into you and I, into us. And that was the light or the intelligence of men. That to me is that verse amplified, made a lot longer. So why did John refer to God as the Word? Because John's the only one that did that, right? None of the other Gospels ever say that. Only the Apostle John says that. And I think a lot of that has to do with one of his primary purposes on earth is to reveal God, the Father. The testimony of Jesus is of his Father, I really believe, because he loves his Father more than he loves anything else. So I think that's partly, I couldn't get any more on that other than that. Why is he called the Word? You know, I'm sure there's other explanations, but Jesus came to bring the kingdom, the gospel, as the Word, explaining who the Father is to mankind. So he says here, then he goes, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and that light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. So that light, again, that's that same word light, and it does, it means truth. The truth shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. And, you know, we saw a lot of that this weekend with all these protests. Darkness does not understand the truth. And our job is to bring that truth, which is the light, and understand the light is the truth and the understanding of it. So You know, when we spout out a scripture to somebody, all we're doing when we do that is we're aiming a loaded gun at them and shooting it. But if you take the time to help somebody understand a truth, that will win their heart more than just shooting out a scripture at them. Does that make sense? So our job, when we're in the marketplace, we're to be the light, we're to be that truth, but with understanding. And I believe everybody here does that. I'm not saying anything, but just to clarify that the light is truth with understanding. It's not just truth. Because darkness doesn't understand it. So we are there to help them understand it. Let's see here. And I did find something in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, from the book of Job about light and about the light and the life. And it was out of Job. Let me go there real quick. Job 33, I think. 33:30. So one of Job's friends, which, you know, in that book, I kind of use that term loosely because they were kind of mean with him. But anyway, he says, his friend is saying to him, behold, God does, in verse 29, behold, God does all these things twice, three times with a man to bring back his soul from the pit that he may be lighted with the light of life. And, you know, in looking at those words in the Hebrew, the light and the life, again, I find them intertwined. Light is the word, it's or, O-W-R, and life is chai, right? So it's that those words, the word has, in the one sense, it's being alive, chai, and that's very important. But I think we take it a step further. To take it a step further, it's a life that is flowing, okay? Kind of like we see in lakes. A lake that does not flow, it grows very stagnant and it dies. But a body of water that has a flow in and an outflow, it has life and it multiplies immensely when an in and an out, when there's an in and an out. So it's its own little ecosystem, sort of. I mean, you'd probably be able to explain that better. I'm probably butchering it, but life flows. Life flows. It's not stagnant. So chai or life, it's a flowing thing. And when it flows in and it flows out, it flows in sustenance and strength and freshness and vitality, and out from there flows those same things. It more life flows out, so then more of that has to come in. And God is more than able to constantly fill us when we're pouring out. That's life and light. So that's why I say they're intertwined, is because that constant inflow and out is, that's life and light. You're flowing out with the truth and understanding. You're coming in with more of the same, and the life is being multiplied. And so life breeds life, does it not? I mean, we've all looked at animal channels. Life breeds life. So I say that because we all have got to keep flowing. Keep flowing, keep going. And not standing still and not waiting. We can't, if we wait and do nothing, And this is much to Evan's point. If we wait, and that's all we do, we dry up. And we can't pass, and then nothing can flow. So we're not in a period of waiting. We're in a period of moving, growing, life breeding life. All right? That makes sense? All right, so I want to keep going because I don't have a lot of time left. I'm sorry. I got stuck here and I didn't want to leave it. The first 18 verses of John are probably some of the best in the whole book. So let's go to verse 6. It starts getting better here. So this is about John, and it says, what's interesting here is it says, John is the witness. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Now, see, sometimes I think of a witness as an eyewitness, but he actually wasn't, because he had never seen Jesus, not with his physical eyes. But he was told that he would know who Jesus is, and that comes later in the chapter here. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, and that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming in to the world. So John, being this witness, though never seeing him, that should give every one of us hope, because we're a witness too. You know, we have never seen him with our physical eyes, but we are still witnesses of him. Matthew 11:11 tells us that Jesus believed, Jesus knew that John was a great prophet. John the Baptist, he says, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. He was the greatest of all the prophets, right? I mean, that's what Jesus believed. Greater than Elijah, greater than all of them. But it also says there that he's least in the kingdom of heaven. Why is that? He says, he's not least in the kingdom. He says, but he was least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Does anybody have any insight into that? Old and New Covenant. That's actually a good point. Actually, I like that. I do like that. I was praying about that, and you know, humility. I was getting humility because humility plays a big part in the kingdom of God. It plays a big part in all of our lives, and humility sometimes has that picture of being lesser. But it really isn't, because God rests on the humble, right? God is on those that are humble, but I love what you said there, because we do have a greater covenant. We are living in a greater covenant, and I like that. I don't think I want to add to that. I remember. And maybe it was last week that Evan said this, or I can't remember when you said this, but you were, you know, in the natural world, seeing is believing, but in the kingdom of God, believing is seeing. And I love that. That's amazing. So I believe that as a citizen of the kingdom of God, this kingdom of heaven, believing is actually seeing. And we should all know that. So that's a quote from Evan. Truman. Okay. Truman's smarter than he looks. So here's a... Absolutely. One thing you got to understand about me is I like humor. I hate that I'm Sometimes I can feel like I'm droning on, so I need to break up everything with laughter. Maybe it's because I'm come from a large family, and I just love to laugh. And God gave me a big laugh, so I laugh. So John here, here's something that I found out about John the Baptist. His Hebrew name is Yochanan, and that is made up of two root words. The first word being Yehovah. Is anybody familiar with that name? The second is Hanan, which is grace. God's grace. The grace of God. That's the two root words that make up John's name. And so it's any wonder that people were drawn to him because he had favor on his life. And it was obvious. He was highly favored of God. And he wasn't even named that by his parents. Zacharias was told he needed to name his son the grace of God by the angel Gabriel. Now, if the angel Gabriel came to me and told me that, I sure as heck would listen. So, I think we could actually say in that verse. Where did I have that written here? I'm going to skip a lot of what I had about John because I don't have time. But essentially, I think that we could basically say that verse. Where is it here? There was a man sent from God whose name was the grace of God. Because he had more favor than anybody really up to that time. He had favor. And God proved himself to him. And even though he had never seen Jesus up to this point in his life, he diligently prepared the way of the Lord. John had one goal in his life. The whole meaning of his life was to prepare the way of the Lord, right? The one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And I wonder, why is it always the wilderness? Because that's the place where we're able to hear the Lord the loudest. And sometimes we need to hear it loud and clear. And he doesn't yell at you. He waits until you can come down to him, down till our levels can come down so that we can hear that still small voice speaking to us that's always been there, but we're so distracted. It's so noisy up here. Am I the only one that has a lot of noise up here? Because it's noisy up here, and it's when you get desperate in that place of the wilderness where you finally shut all that stuff up. And you ask the Lord, Lord, can you just shut all this stuff off so that I can hear you? That's the wilderness. That's our place where we get where we can finally hear the word of the Lord. And I'm going to end it right there. I'm sorry. I was intending to get through all this. I got a couple more pages. I want to end it there because I think it's important that we talk about vision. But it's going to be important for us. I want everybody to study this out because I want you to study the words out for yourself. I want us to get to know even in greater measure this God, this Jesus who John is writing about here, and even all the things that he did in his public ministry. Because now, once we get through 18, and I know we're only up to like number 9 or 10 or 11. Once we get through that, we get into the public side of Jesus. And so it's going to get even more exciting, I hope, because it is for me. I have camped out on this for a while, and I'm still enjoying just getting even more acquainted with the Word of God. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would help us, help me understand, help us to understand the Genesis one God, the creator who was and is to come. And Jesus, I'm just grateful that there is power in your word. There's power in your love. And I'm grateful that we get to study it together. So bless my brothers and sisters, and bless the next 15 or 20 minutes or so as we talk about the way to move forward. In Jesus' name, amen.